Hello, friends, and welcome to day number 118 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It's so good to have you here with us today, whether you're a first-time guest or a return visitor. It's our hope that as you partake in this Bible in a Year reading plan, that you will draw closer to God, that God will draw closer to you, and that you might be formed in God's image and put on a path to glorify God in and through all you do. Well, today we'll be reading from the book of Esther, chapters 1 through 6, Psalm number 118, and Proverb number 25. By way of this podcast today, I will be reading Esther chapter 4, but be sure to read the rest on your own. As always, I'll be using the web translation of the Bible. That's the World English Bible, but feel free to use whatever you have on hand or find most comfortable. If you need the Bible in a Year reading plan, please click the link that's in the show notes and you'll be brought to a page where you could print it or download it. Finally, if you are enjoying this Bible in a Year reading plan, I ask that you do me the kindness of clicking like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice, as that does help this podcast get seen in search results for those who are looking for a reading plan such as this. It also helps you get notified when new episodes are available. Thank you for considering doing me that kindness. And friends, without further ado, let's jump into God's Word together. Esther chapter 4. Now when Mordecai found out all that was done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the middle of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. He came even before the king's gate, for no one is allowed inside the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her this, and the queen was exceedingly grieved. She sent clothing to Mordecai to replace his sackcloth, but he didn't receive it. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and commanded him to go to Mordecai to find out what this was and why it was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai to City Square, which was before the king's gate. Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out in Susa to destroy them, to show it to Esther, and to declare it to her, and to urge her to go into the king, to make supplication to him, and to make request before him for her people. Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that whoever, whether man or woman, comes to the king in the inner court without being called, there is one law for him, that he be put to death, except those to whom the king might hold out the golden scepter, that he might live. I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. They told Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai asked them to return this answer to Esther. Don't think to yourself that you will escape in the king's house any more than all of the Jews. For if you remain silent now, then relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows if you haven't come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther asked them to answer Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are present in Susa and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will also fast the same way. Then I will go into the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Gracious eternal God, we give you thanks for the gift of this time together. We ask that you consecrate it, set it apart so that it is a holy experience for each of us, that you would send forth your Holy Spirit to illuminate these words for us, that we might gain understanding and wisdom and live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Well, friends, there is something pretty unique about the book of Esther, and that is that throughout the entirety of this book, God's name is not mentioned. Now, a lot of people had some concerns about this, that perhaps maybe it shouldn't be included in the canon of Scripture. But when you read the book and take it as a whole and consider its theme, then you understand that perhaps it is totally fine that God's name is not mentioned. And the theme of the book of Esther seems to be that God is working in the background to accomplish God's will. So what better way to be even more in the background than to not mention God's name at all, but see God's hand at work through the different scenarios in this book? So real quickly to summarize the unit that we have read today in the book of Esther, essentially what happens, King Xerxes, who is the king of the Syrian Empire, is located there in Susa, and he's having a banquet with all of his people, and food and wine are flowing in abundance. And while everyone was merry and enjoying themselves, the king asked for his wife, Queen Vashti, to come by so that he could show her off because she was a beautiful woman. Well, it turns out she was throwing a banquet of her own for the ladies of the kingdom, and she refused to go to the king. And the king becomes furious, has a meeting with his people, and says, "What do we do about this?" And they said, "We need to depose her, get rid of her, because what she has done will set a precedent for all the women in the kingdom, and we don't want them turning against their husbands and the king's officials and so on and so forth." So that's what he does. He deposes them, and then there's a recommendation for him to go on a search, so to speak, for the next queen. And all the beautiful women of the kingdom are gathered up together, and they were given beauty treatments and special diets for the period of like a year until they were ready to be seen by the king. They're kind of purified, if you want to think of it that way, I suppose. But anyway, he starts meeting with these women, and he's not pleased on the first several, and then he happens upon Queen Esther. Well, she wasn't queen yet, just Esther at the time, and he falls immediately in love with her and places the crown on her head, and now she is queen. It turns out that Queen Esther is a Jewish person. Her cousin was in the kingdom and was brought there during the Babylonian captivity period under King Nebuchadnezzar. And he raised Esther because her parents were killed, probably in the seizing of Jerusalem when they were being attacked and brought over. But we don't know for sure. As she is there in the kingdom, she rises up to this exalted position as queen. And then some pretty nasty stuff starts happening. This guy named Haman rises up into a position of authority, and on one occasion, maybe more, Mordecai does not bend his knee to him and give him the respect he believes he deserves, and Haman is furious and doesn't just try to kill Mordecai, but says, "You know, I don't think I like any of this type of people," and they were the Jewish people who were living in their kingdom because of that exile period, and he says, "We need to get an edict to destroy them all," and he convinces the king that this was the right thing to do, and the king says, "All right, go ahead and do what you must." And so in this chapter, we see Mordecai relaying this information to Queen Esther, and Esther is mortified because of all of this, and he asks her to go and talk to the king about it, right? She has an in. She's the queen. She's like, "There's one small problem. He hasn't called for me in like 30 days. And if I go to him without being requested, there's this rule that whether it's a man or a woman, that person must be killed unless his golden scepter is extended to that person as an act of grace, allowing them to come." So Queen Esther says that she'll do it. She asked Mordecai to have a period of fasting. She said that she and her counterparts were going to do the same, right? This is a spiritual practice. We're supposed to see, connect the dots, really, that she is fasting and beseeching God's help in this situation. And once that's done, she said, I will go to the king. But really, what's amazing about this chapter is when Mordecai is trying to convince Esther, he says, who knows? You might be here in this position for such a time as this. And this story really reminds me of the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, when Joseph's brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery because Joseph was favored by their dad, Jacob, right? Remember that? And so they betray him, sell him off into slavery. They spared his life because there was a plot to kill him, actually, but that doesn't happen. He's brought into Egypt, and Joseph rises up the ranks to be second only to Pharaoh. And that was a divine situation that was orchestrated because God went ahead of Joseph, preparing the way that led to the salvation not only of Joseph, but the people of God, Israel, the Jewish people, when there was a very severe famine. And they were all brought over to survive in Egypt under Joseph's leading. So here we have much the same situation. God has been working in the background, paving the way for the salvation of the Jewish people by placing people in certain situations and in certain places so that God's will can be done. And a lot of times that's the way that God is working in our lives. He's going on ahead of us, preparing the way. When we slip up or falter or just happen to have some pretty nasty stuff happen to us, God is able to react to that, to redeem those situations and refashion them to put us back on a path that will serve not only us, but God's purposes. And we're going to see that playing out through the rest of the book of Esther. And I invite you to consider how God has placed you into different situations and use certain circumstances to advance your faith and your spiritual growth throughout your life. God is working in the background, whether we realize it or not, and we thank God that God has the wisdom to do that for us and the power to do that for us. So friends, I hope that you enjoyed this Bible study today on the Bible in Your Reading program, and hope that you'll be back again tomorrow for our next installment of the Book of Esther. We'll be finishing it up tomorrow. Until then, have a very blessed day. See you tomorrow.